Thank you for your faithfulness in giving. We do need you to continue to give as you feel. I've been watching what's going to end first, the money or the project? The money or the project? Right now the money is winning. It's going to end before the project. So we're believing for a miracle. We do, and I say it every week, I do. I pray that God will smile upon us and that we'll respond and that God will make up whatever difference so that we can build this building debt-free for His honor and glory. All right, if you have your Bibles, we're going to turn to Luke chapter 12 and verse 35 to 40. And this portion of Scripture is entitled, The Parable of the Waiting Servants. Parable of the Waiting Servants. You know, I've never really done a series of just preaching through the parables, and I don't believe I've actually ever spoken on this portion of Scripture as a message before. But it's a very important one. I come amazed whenever you take the Word of God and you start studying it, you see how many truths and how good it is. And it was no less with this portion of Scripture. The Bible is so rich. It's so full of spiritual truths. And we need to be in it more and more in the Word of God. Let it feed our souls and benefit it. So, there's a fill-in sheet in your bulletin. You can take it out. I invite you to follow along with us as we look at six spiritual lessons that come out of this portion of Scripture. So let me read it. 12, verse 35. Let your waist be girded and your lamps burning, and you yourselves will be like men who wait for their master when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat and will come and serve them. And if he should come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. So let's look at this portion and draw these spiritual lessons out. Now here is the first spiritual lesson, and you can fill in the blanks. While Christ is physically absent, we are left on earth with a mission. While Christ is physically absent, we are left on earth with a mission. Now this is the context and setting of this whole parable. That there's a master, and in this case, as we bring the analogy, it's Jesus, who is on earth, and he is now going to go away. And he's going to leave his servants in charge. And as it says in other parables that Jesus gave, that he was going to deliver to them his goods. They were to take care of his property and the things that he wanted to do. And so it also says in other parables Jesus gave along the same line that the master, when he goes away, gave them talents, gave them money, and they were to be productive with what they were given. And so this is the whole context of the parable, speaking to people, speaking, and Jesus knew that this would be recorded and passed on down to us. So this is in the Word of God for our benefit. And so as we draw this first spiritual truth out, it's a very simple one, but listen, it's one that sometimes we ignore or we're not conscious of it enough. It's sort of there, but we don't realize it. Jesus is no longer physically with us. Now he's here by his spirit, we know. But physically he went away. He ascended into heaven. He told us he was going to come again. And he gave and committed to his disciples, who then were to commit to other people, his goods. They were to, they had a mission on earth to take care of the things that the kingdom of God, and to extend the kingdom of God, and to continue to show his attributes and his presence, because we are the body of Christ on the earth today. But we need to realize this is a mission. Do we get up in the morning thinking about this? Or do we get caught up with the things of life and we're here, but we're not aware consciously that we have something to do on earth. We've been given a mission, that the Lord is going to return, and that he wants us to be able to give a good account of the things that we have done while we're here. It's a simple truth, isn't it? I mean, we all know this truth, right? But do we live in the consciousness of it? Every morning when you get up, do you think today may be the day the Master returns? And am I conducting myself in a way that would be pleasing to him when he came? Am I ready for him to return? Am I conscious that he is returning? And so it's very important that this simple truth that I think anyone here could tell me. But again, are we living in the power of it, in the importance of it? That it's determining your thinking and your thoughts and your actions, that you're well aware that this is what it's all about. Here's the second spiritual truth. There is a need to wait upon God. There is a need to wait upon God. Luke 12:36 says, "And you yourselves be like men who wait for their master when he will return from the wedding." Now there's two aspects that we can apply this message to us. Obviously, there's the aspect that the Lord is going to return physically to earth again. And folks, that is going to happen. The Lord is going to return. The Bible says just as he went, he's going to appear. We're going to be changed. We're going to be transformed. Graves are going to be open. We which are alive when he comes, it says we'll be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. We're going to be caught up. There's going to be a transference when the Lord returns into a spiritual realm for us. So, you know, that is an aspect that we are waiting for that. And the Bible says he who does and has this hope within him purifies himself. We should always live in that consciousness of waiting for the Lord's return. And that is certainly an aspect of this that we need to know and be aware of and anticipate his return, that the Lord is going to come again. Now, beyond that, though, there's another truth that's alongside of it that is important. Whenever we're waiting for the presence of the Lord to show up in our situation, we have a need. We're asking the Lord to come and to meet our need, whatever it may be. Could be a physical need, a financial need, a relational need, something that's beyond you. You can't handle it. You're saying, we need the Lord to come. Now, here's the point. Built into that process is the need to wait. We don't like to wait. I don't like to wait. But it's built in. It's in the parable. They had to wait. Wait for him to return. Why do we have to wait? Because God doesn't always act on our time schedule. I wish he did. I wish a little snap of the fingers and the wave of your hand, the Lord appears. But you know what? That sort of turns things around, doesn't it? Even when you say it, you think, well, that shouldn't be right. Hey, Lord, over here. Got a need here. You know, we think that he should come right at our beck and call. But the Bible says, built into this whole process is the need to wait, because God's timing is not always our timing. And many times you've asked, but you haven't received. You need to wait. This is just normal. This is not abnormal. Shouldn't be something that gets us upset. It should just be a normal aspect and realize this is part of my spiritual walk. God doesn't do things in my timing. Now, Martha really learned this because she, her sister Mary, and Lazarus were probably the closest friends of Jesus on earth. When he went to Jerusalem, he stayed at their place and so forth. And Jesus went away. Lazarus got sick. Martha knows Jesus is a healer. We will send for Jesus to come. She sends someone to go and tell Jesus, tell him that Lazarus, the one that you love. Pull the emotional strings here. Jesus, the one that you love, is sick. Come. The scripture tells us that Jesus received the summons and stayed 2 more days where he was. And during the pause, the delay, Lazarus dies. Martha is beside herself. Jesus finally shows up. Now Lazarus is dead for 4 days. It must have been a 2-day journey. But Lazarus is dead. Martha comes out and she scolds Jesus. If you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Have you ever scolded the Lord? Why didn't you do? I called. You're the healer. You're supposed to heal. I called you. Where's the healing? I have a need, financial need. I've been praying for a long time, Lord. I mean, this is not the first time I prayed. You're delaying, and now it's past due. Lord, you know, whatever the situation might be, the pressure comes, and there's a death aspect in it many times. And so Martha, she says, Jesus, if you just had been here, if you had listened to me, if you had come when I called, I knew he was sick. You love him, but why? It doesn't look like you love him. You ever feel that way about God? Lord, you say you love us, but why are you acting and treating me like this? So we get a little miffed at God. I mean, it's just human nature. But we have to realize, built into this whole process is waiting. See, Martha had more faith in her summons of Jesus than she did in the presence of Jesus. And then Jesus said to her, Martha, when she says, my brother's dead, I'm the resurrection and the life. I mean, I'm here. This isn't beyond me. It hasn't gone too far. And Martha immediately interprets it how she thinks. Well, yeah, I know, Lord, in the resurrection we're all going to be resurrected. I believe that. But, you know, he's dead right now. And he said, I am the resurrection and the life. You know, we need to rest in the presence of the Lord, not in our summons of him. Because, and it doesn't mean we don't summons him. The Bible says call upon the Lord. We are to call upon the Lord. We are to make our needs known. We are to be diligent in that. But our trust is in the Lord, not in our summons of him or how we think it's going to happen. It's very important for us to realize this is a spiritual truth that many people don't understand. And they go through life upset, mad, discouraged. I don't know why. I prayed. It didn't happen. But there's just a process of having to wait. Here's the third thing. Third spiritual truth. We are to be prepared while we wait. Luke 12:35 says, let your waist be girded and your lamps burning. Now, this is in their culture. They wore robes. They didn't wear trousers. And so if they were going to move, they would take their robes and gird them up around their waist, giving freedom so that they could run, they could walk without the difficulty of being restrained by the fabric. Now, most of us guys, we don't realize that. Ladies, you have a much better idea what that means. I've seen my sisters in days gone by, you know, when ladies wore skirts, would pull up their you know, their dress a little bit when they were running on the school ground, you see, because they want to be able to run and be free. This is what it's referring to. He said, while you're waiting, gird up your waist and your lamps burning. Have the lamps ready so that when the master comes, you're able to do whatever you're supposed to do. You're waiting. It's like my son, he was in the U.S. Army. He said the whole thing of his training was hurry up and wait. hurry up, wait. So that was his training in the U.S. Army. And so it is many times with the Lord. You know, we're to be ready. We're to be alert. We are to have our waist girded up. We are to have our lamps burning for that moment when he prompts us and he returns and he says, go here, do this. But see, we say, well, you're not coming. Why should I do anything? I'm waiting for you. When you come, maybe you got to wait for me a little bit. Now, we don't say this outwardly, do we? But you know what? It gets inside of us, and we get a little angry at God. Why am I waiting? Mom! His time is not our time. He knows more than we know. He's got a bigger view than I have of the situation. So when I don't understand what he's doing with his hand, I have to trust his heart. I trust his goodness. Say, God, you're God. I'm not God. So I'm going to bet while I'm waiting, I'm not laying back, don't have my arms crossed, I don't know where my shoes are, I don't know where the lamp is, you know, so when he comes, okay, I got to get ready here, and we start getting ready, and the Lord says, no, you be ready while you're waiting. Now, what does that mean to you? I don't know, it means something to you. It should mean something to all of us. What is it that you need to do to gird up your waist? What are the things that restrict you in acting, in responding? What are the things that are encumbering you in life? That if the Lord were to ask you to do something, you'd have to disencumber yourself of something in order to act. I don't know what it is. I think it's different for each one of us. And they're not bad things. They're just things that you know, okay, that would keep me from doing God. This attitude I hold, or this possession I have, or whatever it might be. I know that's keeping me. And have your lamp burning so you know where you're going. You can see where you're going. You're not going to trip over obstacles. Now, I have a pretty good idea what that would be, because the Bible says that your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God's word enlightens us. It tells us how God, what his nature is, how he acts, how he responds. We're looking at it today to help us. Hopefully this parable will help you to have some insight of how to move when God's moved and how you handle yourself while we're waiting. You see, it's his word. We need to just saturate ourselves with his word. We need to know God's ways. It should be in us. We should have his thought patterns through his word. We should be able to understand. Oh, he moved. That's how he moved with Abraham. That's how he moved with Jonah. That's how he moved with David. He works this way. I understand his ways because I'm reading his word. It's given me some insight so that when God speaks to me, I have faith to do some things and respond quickly because I understand, yeah, I have some light on this situation. So while you're waiting, you're not indifferent. You are preparing yourself, anticipating that God is going to move. Now, and that's the definition of wait. Remain in a place in anticipation until something expected takes place. So you're waiting in a place, but you're anticipating God's going to intervene here. I don't know when, I don't know where, but I believe it, and I'm waiting in this place. I'm taking my stance right here, and I'm waiting, expecting God to move. I haven't put a time limit on it. I'm not going to get frustrated if it goes longer than I think, but I'm prepared. I'm ready. That's the third spiritual lesson. Here's the fourth one. We are to be vigilant while we wait. We are to be vigilant while we wait. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find them watching. And if he should come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. We're to be watching. So we're prepared, but we're also alert. We're aware of the situation around us. We're waiting, but we're watching. We're putting in our time watching. And it says, because to us many times the Lord has delayed. Now, in his mind, he hasn't delayed, but to us, he's delayed. So, here's the master in the parable. He's away at a wedding. They're waiting for him to come back. They think he might come in the second watch. Now, these were watches that they would put sentries out to watch the area and protect your area. And so the first watch was from 6 in the evening till 9 o'clock. The second watch was from 9 o'clock to midnight. Third watch was from midnight to 3 a.m. The fourth watch was from 3 a.m. to 6 in the morning. So there was a watch, and so you were to be a watchman, and you would watch. So that's how they would tell time. They didn't have wristwatches in those days. They think the master should be back by midnight, should be back in the second watch. Well, okay, we got everything, we're gearing up, we'll be in bed by midnight. And they're waiting, but he doesn't come in the second watch. Well, he must have been delayed. The party must have just went on a little more than I think. He'll come in the third watch. But he doesn't necessarily come in the third watch. So he's saying, what should you be doing while you are waiting, thinking to yourself, where is he? He should have been home by now. I mean, how long can the party go on? I mean, doesn't he know we're here? But he's not showing up. Well, this is right where we live. It's where I have been many times. Just waiting. Wondering why he hasn't shown up yet. Is that how you feel? But you need to watch. Be alert during that time. Take opportunities that come. We're in this world. We're taking care of his goods. You need to be alert of the things that's happening around you. Be alert to the person you're working with. Maybe they're a little down, a little sad that day, but you're watching, you're alert. And so you move to meet their need. You talk to them. You're alert to a prayer request that someone's mentioned. And you're bold. You say, can I just pray with you about that? You know what? I have never found a person turn down prayer when they have a need. They may not even believe in God. They say, can I pray with you? Sure, why not? Give it a go. I mean, I'm in a bad situation here. I'll take anything. You know, they may not say it, but you might feel that. But you know, you step into the void. God delights when you step in and you are alert. You're alert to situations all around you. You're watching. You're waiting, but you're watching. You're not distracted. And we can get distracted. We can know this whole situation, this whole parable. We can understand we're servants. We're waiting for the Lord to return. We're waiting for him to work in a situation. But we get distracted. Boy, I've got to put the snow tires on the car. When am I going to do that? And oh, man, that cupboard needs to be painted. And man, that thing, I don't know why that garage door isn't working. I got to take care of that, and I got to get the kids, and I got to get them registered for this, and Christmas is coming, and all of this. You know, we can go on and on. We can get caught up with life. It can distract us. And take us off our mission. That we realize we are on this earth with a mission for a purpose. I don't know when the Lord's going to return, but I know I am ready. I have my loins girded up. I have my lamp ready, and I'm watching. I'm alert every situation. I'm aware, and I'm going to move. I can move quickly. We need to be predisposed to meeting people's needs. Be predisposed of giving yourself for someone else. See, the Bible says the servant is the greatest. You want to have greatness in the kingdom of God. You're quick to move. You're quick to serve. You're quick to give yourself for someone else. You live a sacrificial life, laying down your life for others. Now, we say it. We can quote the verse, but are we doing it? And we'd like to do it, but I'm too busy to do it. I'd like to help out, but man, I don't have time to do that. I'd like to, but well, we filled our time with something, haven't we? We've allowed something to come in and push into our life that we can't be on mission. We can't be on target anymore. It's like we're not ready. We'd like to. We're encumbered. It's, again, our robes are down around our ankles. We can't move like we should. I think God's talking to you. He's talking to me this morning. See, I can be even in my position as a watchman. See, yeah, that's what the Bible calls, you know, power. We're watchmen. I'm to watch out for your souls. But even in my position, I can get caught up with things and get distracted and get offline and where I just begin to live my life like others and with the goals of other people, even though I have a profession. But all of us, you have a profession to be a servant of God. In your workplace, in your school, wherever you are, in your home, in your neighborhood, there's a calling on your life. Don't be distracted. Keep alert. Keep awake. Don't sleep. This is what the Lord expects. And he says, in this context, I may not come in the second watch. It may not be in the third watch. It's not going to happen when you think. It's not going to happen. I'm not at your beck and call, but you trust me. You rely on me. This is what the Lord wants for us. This is quite a parable, isn't it? Digs around, roots around in our life quite a bit, if you allow it to. Say, God, it's not about me. It's about you. I'm your servant. Let me never lose that. I'm your servant. The servants are waiting for you to come. You're the master, I'm a servant. And so you keep your perspective right. There's another aspect of this, is we wait on tables. And the person that does that is called a waiter. I never really thought about it until I started looking at this. A waiter waits. And a waiter watches. You know, I never had this so clearly brought to my mind was when years ago I was in India. And we were there, another young man and myself, and I've shared before about traveling with these missionary evangelists. And so one of the times, one evening, we ate just out in the villages on rice on a banana leaf. I mean, literally, we did that many times. But this particular time, they took us to a high-class restaurant. And actually, it didn't cost us very much because of the change in the money, but it was a high-class restaurant in India. And I remember we were sitting at this beautiful table with the linen, and standing around the table were waiters, all dressed up, stood. And they were waiting on our table. There was enough people there to actually cover each person at the table. I finished the first soup, put my spoon down, and the waiter came over and took the dish away. I would take a drink of the water, put it down, and the waiter came and filled my glass up again. He was waiting and watching to see my needs. Are you waiting that way? I've already talked about it a little bit. Are you waiting and serving the people around you? Are you watching, looking for opportunities? Or are we so absorbed in our own life that these opportunities to serve becomes actually, how would you call it? A distraction or an imposition. I guess they expect me to do that. You know, an imposition. rather than watching the people in your life, people in your family, the people in your neighborhood, the people at your work, rather than thinking how they're imposing upon you. But you're sitting there standing. I'm a waiter. I'm waiting on the Lord. I'm watching. I'm prepared. I'm being Christ's representative in the world. He hasn't come yet, but I am watching and I'm waiting and I'm moving and I'm acting and speaking to meet the needs of others. It's a powerful, powerful truth to wait and to watch. Now let's look at the fifth spiritual lesson. Spiritual service now will be rewarded by God later. In this context of the parable, it says in verse 37, blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you, that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat and will come and serve them. Now, I can't perceive what this means. But the Lord says, because you have done this, girded yourself, served others, and you've been faithful in doing it, the master says, when I come, I'm going to gird myself. I'm going to put myself in a position where I can quickly move to meet your needs. And you will sit down and I will serve you at the table. Now, this is the reward that comes for sacrificial service. You need to know that, be aware of it. See, some people get a little uncomfortable with this. No, you don't do those things for the Lord to get a reward. You should just do it to do it. Do it because you love the Lord. Just do it because, you know, what else would you do but that? Now listen, there is a truth in that. There certainly is a truth in that. But I caution you, don't be more spiritual than the Lord. This is his words. He said, I'm going to serve you. I'm going to reward you when you come. And this is not the only place that he said. Over and over and over again, he tells his servants, his disciples, you will be blessed. You are going to be rewarded when I come. We all have an aspect of us that if we're not careful, we feel if we serve others, we lose out. And I think this is there just to assure us, to be a counterbalance in our mind. Yes, others might look, why do you do that? Why do they just seem to be using you? Why do you stand up for your rights? Why are you always putting other people ahead of yourself? And in your own mind, you realize, well, first, I'm doing it because of the love for the Lord. But you know what? I'm not really losing out. And we need that counterbalance. That we know when the Lord returns, he is going to reward us. There is a blessing that comes to us. I don't have to be unaware of that. I can anticipate that. I can look forward to it. Not in a sense of I deserve this and God better reward me. No, it's not. We're not serving out of that attitude, but it's just there to balance my mind, my thinking, so that I can serve in this world with an understanding. You know what? Like the Bible says, if you humble yourself, he doesn't just say humble yourself. He says, if you humble yourself, I will exalt you. He doesn't just tell people to give. He said, if you give, I will give back to you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over, will I give into your bosom. The Lord's going to bless us. He tells us this. And so, again, understand it. It's not our sole motivation, but it's there. So you need to speak to the devil. Because, you know, in this service for the Lord, we are giving ourselves. We are laying down our life. But as we do it, we realize, you know what? There is some that I'm doing this for the Lord, but you know what? I'm not losing out. Never have a sense, if I'm a Christian, I lose out. You'll never lose out. You're going to have so much more. But Jesus said, you know, if you give houses, you sacrifice this and that, he said, won't your Heavenly Father give you 100 times more in the life to come and in this life. See, so many times these blessings come right back in our life here. We are blessed in this life. But we're not looking for that. We're just, the more I give, the more I receive. The more I give, the more I receive. So we become a conduit of God's blessings. But just be aware that tremendous honor and reward comes to faithful servants. Which brings us to our last spiritual truth. God's timing and ways are always surprising. They just are. Just surprising. I'm sure if I gave you time, everyone could stand up and give an incident where you were doing something and out of the blue, unexpected, God moved in. He doesn't give any warning. He just does things. There are suddenlies in the Bible. You know, they went for this, and then suddenly. And then, I'll talk about going along, and then suddenly. There are always suddenlies. You can't predict them. He switches the metaphor here, in this last point, of being servants waiting for the master. And he switches it as if the master's home and there's a thief going to break into his house. He said if he had known when the thief was coming, he would have been alert. And so he says, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. When the Lord returns, we don't know. You can't nail down the hour. We don't know. That's why, you know, I don't get too excited when people say, okay, it's happening here and this is the month and all that. Because the Bible says we don't know. Now, there is a month he's returning. Don't misunderstand me. But, you know, it's going to happen when no one expects it. It's going to take suddenly. It's going to be on. There's not going to be a warning. So the Lord's going to come when you don't think. Now, that's in the second coming, but it's also when he comes to your life to meet your need, to meet your situation, the thing that you're asking the Lord, what you're summoning him to do. Nothing wrong with that. But just rest in the Lord. It'll be surprising. It will surprise you. It'll surprise people around you. Unexpected. I didn't think about that. I wasn't even thinking about that. And it happened. So these are six spiritual lessons. From this parable, the waiting servants. We are the servants. He's the master. These six truths, I want you to lay in your heart and become a faithful servant that you hear well done when he returns. Can we stand together this morning? Well, what is the Lord saying to you this morning? Which one of these spiritual truths do you particularly need? Maybe you need more than one. But I just believe God's speaking to each and every one of us today. That his word would bless us and strengthen us today. Have you lost sight of the fact that even though the Lord's not here, we're on mission? Do you realize that just built into the process is the need to wait? Do you realize you need to be prepared while you wait? You need to be diligent when you wait? Do you realize as you give yourself for others, there's a reward that comes back? Never feel like there's a loss because of serving God. And that God's going to work in surprising ways in your life. Not the way you thought. Just out of the blue, he's going to bless you. He's going to come to your situation. Would you lay hold of one of these truths, whatever it might be? Let me pray for us today. Lord, this word, it's powerful. And Lord, may it enlighten us. May it be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. That this will cause us to have a better understanding. That it can take away discouragement and despair and frustration during times of waiting. To know that that is just part of the process. You warned us and told us about it. Lord, we are going to be faithful. We're going to be ready. We're going to serve others, be diligent to wait on the tables of other people around us. God, help us to lay hold of these truths, apply it to individuals here, May we be encouraged. May we be strengthened. May we be better off for being here today. We'd be stronger Christians, better servants, more faithful in what you've given us to do. I just pray it for each and everyone here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, we're going to dismiss you this morning. If you'd like prayer, maybe you're here and you're new to the, you know, the things of the Lord. You haven't really, you don't really know whether you are a servant, whether you are his child. You know, come talk to us. It's just a moment of coming into the Lord's family. And you need to be strengthened in some area. You come on. We'd certainly love to pray for you. Others are here. We'll pray with you as well. Otherwise, go in the name of the Lord. You're dismissed.